Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode number 126 of the Philosophy Show. My name's Thomas, your host, and it is Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show is the same time. It's a call-in show. It's a half-an-hour show. If you want to call in, use the guest call-in number at area code 646-929-1344. You can also visit one of my other websites at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And tonight's episode, I titled it, "The American People Are Sick and Tired of Hearing About Your Damn Emails." Me too. All right, so if you don't know where that line came from, it's not from a movie or some greatest hit, but it's from one of the most recent presidential debates, in the Democrat debate. Right now, one of the contenders, Hillary Rodham Clinton, wife of ex-president Bill Clinton, the ex-secretary of state, the ex-senator of New York, the one, you know, who has that big Clinton Foundation, who gets a lot of fees for speaking fees, I guess, to big banks and special interests, hundreds of thousands of dollars per speech, made millions in the last years and tens of millions last decade, and from that, and also, has a lot of donations from those groups as well. Had some emails that, like, while she was Secretary of State, she put on her own private server, and some were saying some of these are very classified, and so it just needs to be I don't know. So, you know, they keep asking her about these emails, and it seems like, I mean, at first, you know, I was thinking, like, you know, there's really no, I'm sick and tired about hearing about these emails as well. And then so at the debate, they asked Bernie Sanders, her opponents, what he thought about the emails. And he responded, you know, this might not be very popular, but I'm just going to say it. You know, the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails. And then she responded, thank you. Me too. And so, because there's like investigations about the emails or something, was it an honest error of judgment or what? I mean, was there hiding bribery, like, you know, having money donated to the Clinton Foundation and then all of a sudden you create deals and contracts and work stuff out with other countries that are in their favor? Is that a legitimate thing, even if that is the case? And what about, you know, the people who don't do that, I guess? Maybe there is something to the emails. I don't know. But there are a lot of other issues as well. And she says she's like, you know, full issue. She likes to talk about more than just one issue or focus on one issue. But he's saying that Bernie Sanders, who's against like money in politics and thinks there's a lot of bribery going on, basically legalized bribery, and wants to, you know, in a sense, do what capitalism should have done during the Great Recession, you know, back in 2008. I guess that's what they're calling it now. Not the Great Depression, but the Great Recession. Okay, we can call it the Great Recession. It's probably more accurate, I guess. But, you know, a lot of companies that had insider connections were bailed out with a big basket of funds that if they didn't receive, they would have gone under. And that really is one of the essences of capitalism of life, I guess, as we know it in a free society, is that you have the rights and the opportunity, I guess, to be wrong, to fail. And if you don't let that happen, then you know who should have gotten, you know what should have happened after all those big banks failed is all the small and mid-sized banks should have bought them up. And then so the people, you know, the ones that were still in business, the people who had better management should have taken them over. Instead, no one got fired. The same people who caused this mess, you know, with the bailout money gave themselves big bonuses. And, you know, like Bernie Sanders says, I mean, none of them have ever been fined or hardly investigated. And, you know, we're putting people in jail for petty things, very petty things that should be, you know, you have the right to fail. You have the right to do whatever you want to your own body as well. And as long as you're not hurting anyone else, I mean, that really is what the rule of law should be about, is to enforce that. But so by breaking up these big banks, I guess it kind of will help that. And, you know, I think, I think we're sick and tired about hearing about the possibility of a Bush or a Clinton or some kind of dynasty in power. You know, dynasties might be fine in college football or something, but definitely shouldn't exist in politics. That kind of, you know, goes against what the whole equal representation in a republic and balance of power and due process and checks and balances and transparency, etc., is supposed to be about. That has the greatest stability. And, you know, besides if everyone was mentally healthy and didn't need any government at all, right? So, you know, she responded after he said, and he got a big round of applause for that. I mean, you know, it's not that there isn't something to those emails, but just the way that the Republicans always bring it up, it's like they're doing it. They're like not just letting the investigation process go forward. I mean, they're really like out for blood. And believe me, I want Bernie to win all the way. And if he doesn't, I ain't voting for Hillary. So, and I don't agree with everything he says. I wish he would expand more on, you know, trying to help small business, and that, you know, the parts that he wants, you know, he really wants entrepreneurship and stuff like that, and how his proposals will help. I mean, basically, he is right that that the big businesses have had corporate welfare. There has been a redistribution of wealth, but it's not the ones that you're scared about, from the people who work to the people who don't, even though there has been some of that, but it's been really to the people that work, the middle class, to the top 1%, and, you know, they're not creating anything except an illusion of a lot of money. But so finances are very important. I wish the left would focus a little more on the debt and stuff like that. Not that some of them don't, but I think it is important for us, you know, who we owe money to is who we are indebted to, and they have some pull on our policies and whether we enter trade deals and stuff like that. And, you know, for Hillary to, I mean, do you really believe her that she's not going to pass the TPP when that, if you don't know what the TPP is, I urge you to look it up. It's a legislation that has been trying to be passed in the last year. It's one of these trade deals, and where it gives corporations huge influence that normally shouldn't exist. It's not free market at all. And so it makes them almost like judge and jury and everything else of, you know, laws. So I think overall, though, Bernie Sanders is for privacy. He's against the militarization of the police force. He wants accountable policing against police officers. I think one thing that would help police officers is not having, you know, quotas or artificial quotas. You know, and in all levels of government, really stick up and defend whistleblowers, make sure that they are totally confident and ensured that they will not be, you know, fired or, you know, harassed or anything like that. Like they get a full opportunity to explain. And of course, yes, if someone's doing something wrong, that would be investigated as well. That's obvious. But if someone has something to say and wants to improve stuff, they should not, you know, especially at the public level, I mean, risk, you know, getting in trouble for that. And so there should be a way for people to hotline things to higher departments or bring them to a public level or something like that, where there's different layers without, you know, giving away, leaking secrets and stuff. But they have to talk to, be able to reach out to multiple groups that are independent of each other and groups that have power to protect them, you know, like a senator, but even someone beyond just that, because a senator could be bought out possibly or bribed or something. So much more likely to in this day and age. And so he's saying, this Bernie Sanders, who wants to kind of level the playing field, is saying that, you know, we've had a transfer of wealth. It's already happened. I mean, everyone's saying, oh, we, you know, it's from the middle class and the working people to the top 0.1%. So sometimes he says 1%, other times he says 0.1%. And which I think 0.1% is probably closer. I don't know exactly. I think if you make $250,000 above, you're in the 1%. So unfortunately, right? And unfortunately, there aren't a lot more people with greater income like that in high double digits. And so the scare about Bernie Sanders, though, is he describes himself as a democratic socialist or an independent, and he's running on the Democrat ticket. He's not a third party. He's actually doing really well. He's pretty much tied with Hillary Clinton. So that's why if you can vote in one of these things, it'd probably be important. Now, for those who love Trump, I think you should still want Bernie Sanders to win the Democrat primary. I mean, we don't even want a chance of Hillary and, you know, all the gun laws that she would pass and, you know, the type of stuff that, you know, she... Maybe she has turned progressive, but, you know, and cares about civil liberties and the Constitution, or maybe that's just another spiel. She knows the populace, you know, she's been in the politics for a while and knows what to say. And, I mean, she did at one time say the TPP is, this trade deal is like, the gold standard of trade deals. And so, you know, remember that ad she had, like the 3 o'clock in the morning one? Like, if you get a call at three, you know, if the government or the president gets a call at 3 a.m, who would you rather have it be? You know, the person with more experience? Or, yeah, she's probably going to get a call from a lobbyist at 3 a.m. Like, hey, you know, we need you to give us a contract to build this bridge or something. This pipeline and or whatever, you know. And I mean, and if she did a couple deals here and there but still overall helped the country at large, that would be great. But, you know, I don't see any groundbreaking major things. I see a lot of more hurt in our economy. I mean, you know, there has to be something that is done about the bribery and the excessive waste and the debt. I mean, that debt represents waste our country makes enough money to pay its bills many times over and to be quite prosperous, but if we're seeing that much debt, we're seeing that much waste. And, you know, just like it should have been the small banks and the mid-sized banks that didn't go under in 2008, the Great Recession, they're the ones who should have profited, because if your competitors go out of business, then, you know, the people that were smart enough and had the better products and better management and better investing skills and et cetera, they're the ones who should have filled in that void. But instead, the big banks said they were too big to fail, and they forced our taxpayer dollars to bail them all out. And now they're even bigger than they were before, because they used all the bailout money to invest, and they've, you know, many times over how much they were badly doing before. So, you know, it's not really fair to those mid and small sized banks at all. I mean, if I was them, I'd be really pissed. I mean, so, but, and we all should be, because, you know, we don't know what they've learned since then. You know, you could question that. What have they learned about that whole situation? Do they learn that government will bail you out if you make, you know, gamble away the whole place to try to strike it rich? But the thing, so I think, you know, in capitalism, what is supposed to prevent that from happening is the people that do, they go out of business, and, you know, you quickly not have any of that type of behavior. And so I do think there's nothing wrong with capitalism and some parts of socialism. I mean, when he talks about socialism, he's talking about two main things, education and healthcare. And, you know, I think compared to this kind of quasi-government corporatist type of system we have now, where it's mixed with, like, you know, some companies get to benefit the healthcare insurance mandates. And so, you know, we can't all mandate people buy our products. I mean, if I was a painter, I couldn't mandate that everyone hires me to paint a wall in their house or something. And but these health insurance companies let's say people have to paint a wall and they have to hire one of these health insurance companies, and there's only, like, you know, four to choose from at the most or something, and on average, then you'll get this fine. And so that's what we have now. And I wouldn't say that's, yes, there within that marketplace, there is, though, people that don't have to have pre-existing conditions, or if they have them, doesn't matter. And I think that's good for those people. Maybe, you know, we should let a lot of those people really take advantage of that for now. And I mean, we do pay the highest amounts, and I think if we did have a good public option, that would be good. And and education, of course, I think we should have a public and a private option. I mean, I do think it is important to provide everyone the education, like math. You know, everyone wants everyone to speak, all the Republicans want everyone to speak English, right? Well, how are you going to do that without good public education? You want people to know civics, right? Now, I do think religion and even possibly a lot of history should be left out. I mean, but you do want those skills of engineering, math, science, social studies, you know, English, other kind of skills, you know, woodworking, maybe gardening. There are a lot of good skills that, you know, I think it should be involved in that as well. Nutrition, civics, but, you know, more than the basics. So you're very competent and will have the curious desire to go out there and learn more, and maybe teach your own classes and stuff. But So, I mean, in the presidential thing does take up, it's a big thing to talk about now, and what kind of society we live in. Of course, there's other people that are going to be running for offices in November 2016, like in Congress, and they represent you as well. I mean, so you see, you have the three branches of government, and they all have pretty much equal power, but some of them have more people in it than others, like the president. It's just them and their cabinet. And who do you think Hillary, I mean, two things. Do you think Hillary is really not going to support TPP in some form? She's going to vote for TPP just like Bill Clinton voted for NAFTA. And, you know, just like George W. Bush didn't let us negotiate drug prices. You know, just like we've just made a lot of stupid decisions, both Democrat and Republican, over the last decades. And that, a lot of that has to do with special interests. And that is the one issue. Yeah, Bernie might be a one-issue person because that one issue does expand the full set of issues. I mean, whether it is health care or... And I don't know what all he can pass, but I think having an honest person there is going to make a big difference. Yeah, he'll get done twice as much as Hillary ever would, because he'll actually be fighting for that policy. And, you know, he has a bully pulpit. He'll be able to have a news conference whenever he wants or get the attention anywhere he wants. You know, he could visit other congresspeople's districts and, you know, challenge them to a debate on a certain vote or something. So yeah, I'm sure he could galvanize if there's actual support. I think there would be for privacy, for ending the war on drugs, investing in education instead of private prisons and three strikes, you're outlaws, and, you know, people being in jail for nonviolent crime, things that, and relook what something should be a crime, and relook our trade bills and not get us into any worse trade deals, and appoint people in all the different departments, and the people like in the Treasury departments, who we've had Goldman Sachs in there for like the last couple of years. I mean, it's quite a revolving door, and he's not going to have that revolving door. Yeah, he's going to be in charge of the military, and have a lot to do with the direction of the CIA and Homeland Security, and yeah, so... Yes, I think he could make a big, big difference into things. He could support, you know, he's supporting a $15 an hour minimum wage. I mean, if we're going to have one, we might as well have one that, you know, is a good minimum. I think there's a better way, personally, than for all of this, is to have a public banking system. And, you know, we kind of do, but what we do with our money is we outsource it to the Federal Reserve, which is actually a private bank, but we could keep the same structure and then just, you know, have it be public, and so it has full transparency and accountability, and we could, you know, the way to show that we're in charge of our government again is to have a full audit of every single department there is, and also have control of our money, you know, and I think bringing money into circulation, you have a public banking system, and you kind of give everyone a certain amount every year, like a guaranteed annual income, and probably about $15,000 or something, and then you can get rid of a lot of welfare programs because of doing that. So you cut out a lot of red tape right there. And you make it equal across the board, entire country. And then so that way you have a very good rate of money by population. You also allow competition, the currencies like Bitcoin or like whatever else. But this would be the government standard. What we give it strength and confidence is that it would be fully transparent, accountable to the people by elected representatives, and you know, as part of the biggest government, the fairest, the longest constitution that there has ever been. And, you know, we've had it similar to that before with the greenbacks, and we won't let it get out of inflation because every single person would be accounted for, and this is a certain amount that has to be out there in the market, and it would trickle up instead of trickling down. It wouldn't prevent, this is not, everyone's going to be the same. It's actually the most free market because you do have competing currencies for one, and that's a very important fact. And then two, most people will use and participate in this, but you could have silver coins or whatever you want. But in addition to this, but this would be a minimum that everyone gets, and they could use it to invest in a business, to pay for medicine, whatever, housing, etc. But they can choose where they want to pay it. So instead of saying, hey, here's a gift card, you have to spend it at this store, here's $50, or here's this amount, you spend it wherever you choose. So it does have more of a free market thing. And people can still get rich and very wealthy. If they create things that are of service, they'll get more of those greenbacks back to them. So there'll still be people getting rich, and it starts out equal, but not everyone ends up that way. And but I think it would be very healthy, and it's just another option, a public option. And that's really, I think, that would be hard to run on, though. I don't think people would go for that. And you could get rid of the minimum wage with that. Lots of things. I mean, pretty much everything. And then you wouldn't have to worry about anyone being poor. And it would probably be more cost effective than now. I haven't done the numbers, but I think it would be better, more fair. You know, I think Milton Friedman thought about something similar to that. And then overall, you know, get rid of the drug war. I think we should open up lots of land, let people start homesteading. You know, individuals, not corporations. And, you know, maybe invest a lot into solar. And I think that would be a healthy thing. So, but yes, I'm just sick of hearing about Hillary Clinton at all. I mean, I don't want, you know, I do think it would be great to have a woman president. I think it would be great to have a president who is not bought and sold by the big banks. You know, Elizabeth Warren would be someone I would support if she was running this year. Maybe she will as a vice president for Bernie Sanders. I think, you know, it's probably, if people really want to change, unless if some other third party comes up, and if it's Michael Bloomberg, I don't think that's a good idea. There, it's going to be Sanders or Trump, and I don't think the things that people are scared about Sanders, like I just said here, I don't know if he would offer a public option. It would be better than what it is now, and I do appreciate a free market. I think I can sense that from what I said and how I explained that. You know, I don't think society is ready for exactly that yet. I know a lot of people are, but we have about 60 seconds. So I do think, you know, he's probably the best one out there. I mean, yeah, I do think so. Good on trade, good on justice, civil liberties, the things he can make a difference on. And I think probably good for the economy as well. He would probably want to cut out a lot of wasteful spending and be more transparent. All right, so we're about done tonight. And, you know, maybe we'll hear more about those damn emails or not, or lots of different things. This has been The Philosophy Show. And have a great week. And thank you for listening. We'll have another episode next week. Take care.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.